Thank you. Thank you for playing this. That was quicker than Jackie, actually, wasn't it? Well done. Excellent. Excellent. Well, I want to begin with a story. There's a surprise, isn't it, Alan Thorpe, telling a story in church. But I tell you a story which will summarise today's ministry, really, so that I tell you, bear with me for the first 3 or 4 minutes, and then you can have a little snooze, if you like, because you'll get the message in this little story. And it's concerning a tutor, a professor at a Bible college in London. It's a true story, but the stories get better for telling, I realise that. Dr. Donaldson was a theology tutor in one of the London Bible colleges, and his wife was a local GP, a local general practitioner, and they were having a house meeting in their house. The students at the Bible college were separated up into various house groups. And so there was the Donaldson's house, and there was 12... 15 students there in the front room, sat on the floor. So you know what a house group is with young people. And as they were there, the doorbell went, and of course the professor was there, and his wife. And so he said to one of the students, Jimmy, go and answer the door. So Jimmy went to the door, and the person was quite surprised to see who was answering the door. And he said, can I speak to Dr. Donaldson, please? And the young student said, do you want the one who practices or the one who preaches? And that's today's sermon, really. We need to practice what we preach. We need to do our words and our actions need to tally. Jesus did both. He practiced, he washed the disciples' feet, and then he preached. Love one another, go and serve one another. He practiced what he preached. He wasn't a dictator. He didn't say, do as I say, do as I tell you. He said, no, he said, I'm going to show you. In fact, verse 15 that Jenny read for us, he said, I'm leaving you an example. I'm showing you by my deeds what we must do. I've set you an example. That's the sermon, really. In a nutshell, you've got to practice what you preach. Your life and your lip have got to be the same, really. They've got to equate. Our belief and our behaviour has got to square. What we do on a Sunday has got to marry in with what we do in the week as well. Otherwise, people will say hypocrite, quite rightly. They'd say, have you heard people? Oh, if that's how they behave, I want nothing to do with them. It's got to marry in. It's got to square. Now, I'm glad Jeff said about the resolution that the Baptist Union have, because they are confused. I actually listened to the recording last week, and I think Darren gave a little introduction as well, and because some of these words are a bit confusing, aren't they? Reconciliation and resolutions and all this business, and in fact, I heard of a church that was doing a similar resolution, not this one, but a few years ago, another resolution. And there was all these theological terms, and it was a bit confusing for the church. And so they invited someone, again, a theology professor, to come and to explain it to them. And so he gave his ministry, and he gave them the Greek of it and the Hebrew of it and the theology and all the... And he gave them such a fine lecture on what it was to be. And at the end of the day, he was talking to the deacons afterwards, and he said, well, are you still confused? And I said, yes, sir, we are still confused. But we are confused at a much deeper level. Well, you might be confused. Reconciliation, quite frankly, is our relationship to God. We are reconciled at our vertical relation. That's the starting point. We're reconciled with God, and then be reconciled to one another. It's that way and then that way. And that's really... And so today, our words and our actions. Well, our passage begins in verse 12. When he had finished washing the disciples' feet. Now, it's not our custom, is it, to wash people's feet? Thank goodness, did anybody say? If I go and visit somebody's house and that I mean, our custom is, what about shoes? I don't mind taking them off. Do you say that? Or is it, you know, I don't mind taking my shoes off. I've only been caught out once by that, actually, because I had a hole in me. Anyway, that's the... Well, I'm being recorded now, so Jackie will probably... But anyway, that's our custom, isn't it? Because back then, it was the custom to wash people's feet on arrival from the dusty road. But I'm not sure that this was on arrival. To get the context, that's why I read the first 12 verses, actually. Verse 2 of chapter 13 says, it was as the evening meal was being served that Jesus took off his clothes, his outer clothes, and began to wash the feet. As the meal was being served, verse 2, and then verse 4, Jesus took off his outer clothes, wrapped a towel around him, poured water in a basin, and washed the feet, and dried them with a towel. It must have been quite a... well, I put eerie in my notes, really. It must have been quite... the disciples would have looked on, wondering what on earth was happening. And Jesus said to them in verse 7, you don't understand what I'm doing. Jesus acknowledged that they didn't understand where he was going with this at all. But he says, you will do later on. One day you will, all in verse 7, you will understand presently. So to help us understand and help them understand, let's just put it in context. Verse 1 says, it was the evening before the Passover feast. We know that as Maundy Thursday. In other words, it was the day before Good Friday. It was Jesus' last evening meal before he went to Calvary, before he died. He knew Judas was there. He knew the one who was going to be... Do you watch The Traitors on television? Have you seen that?
Yes.
Some haven't, some haven't. Well, let me tell you. We know, those who watch it, who the traitors are. Jesus knew who the traitor was. He knew that there was someone in the midst, someone who was breaking bread with him, someone at that last meal who was, in just a few hours, going to betray him, going to be the traitor. But he still gives him a final chance. In fact, there is a Jewish tradition, and it's only a tradition, I've got no scriptural evidence, it's just a tradition that when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he washed Judas' feet first. He was the first one. It's only a tradition, but it would make sense, wouldn't it? That Jesus gave Judas one final chance. That final day, the final hours at the meal, he took the towel, got the water. And you're right, Jesus, in verse 7, we don't understand what it's all about. One day, he says, it will click all into place. And it clicks into place with two words. Two words in the Greek, actually. In verse 4, it says, he took off his outer. The word took off. One word in Greek, but he took off. And in verse 12, he put back on. All right? These two words, he took off and he put on, are the same two words that he's already used in chapter 10 when he's talking about the Good Shepherd. And he says, the Good Shepherd lays down his life, takes off his life, it's the same word, he lays down his life for the sheep. And then later on in chapter 12 he says, I lay down my life, I take off my, so that I may put it back on again. I'm going to die so that I might be resurrected. And he said, after the resurrection, this is what he was saying. You'll understand, after I'm risen from the dead, I'm going to die, I'm going to lay down my life, I'm going to take off my life, but I'm going to get it back again in resurrection glory. He's talking about his death. And he says, you will understand. One day, back in chapter 13 and verse 7, he says, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. And we might not understand the resolution. We might not understand really too much. But really he's saying, Jesus is saying to his disciples, as this resolution is saying to us, be church, be real Christians. Let your lives live out. Practice what you preach, in other words. And after they'd thought about it, they maybe realized that he was giving them a lesson in servanthood, really. That Jesus had played the part of a servant. I hesitate to point down to your feet, Jeff, but you're an easy to point at somebody's feet and to wash their feet, to give an example of humble service, really, of servanthood, of actions, of works and words together. Now, if anyone is struggling with this, Jesus spells it out. He says in verse 15, I have left you an example. By me washing your feet, I've given you an illustration of my death and my resurrection, an example of servanthood, really, that I've come to serve. Not to be served, not for my bent, but to serve you. It's an example of humble service. And he says in verse 14, if I, Jesus, your boss, your master, your pastor, if you like, your teacher, if I am willing to stoop down in lowly service, then that's the example. You also should stoop down in lowly service. I'm not telling you something that I'm not willing to do myself. I've done it. You've seen it. And if you do serve, you'll find happiness and blessing in serving others. Okay, verse 15, we can't do what Jesus did. We can't die for the salvation of someone. But the teaching is surely you need to go the extra mile in loving sacrificial service. Well, you think already, Baptist Union, Abbotsham, Allenthorpe, you can go whistle. I'm not going the extra mile. I'm looking after me. You go and get knotted. Do you use that phrase? get knotted. I'm looking after number one. And if that's what you're thinking, you're in good company. Because there was one sat at that mealtime who had the same thought. His name was Judas Iscariot. And he said, yeah, not for me though. Not for me. I'm not willing to go the extra. In fact, it's 1 verse 18, who has shared my bread and who has lifted up his heel against me. That's a quote from Psalm 41, actually, where it's the sign of a horse lifting up its ready to kick. Do your horses kick? Those unfamiliar with horses, probably a dog baring his teeth, growling at you, ready to. And it's somebody here who's about to kick out, who's about to bite, who's about to. And we're going to share bread presently. What a warning. I tell you the truth, says Jesus. I've been sent to serve. And you have that same mission responsibility. Not because you're Baptist, but because you're Christians. To go that extra mile in humble, to live in humble, willing service. Now, all this is too much for Judas. He goes out to betray, and it says in verse 30, and it was night. It was dark. Yes, it was a dark night. Okay, when Judas went out. And that's where we pick up the second part of that reading in verse 35, because Jesus says, now is the time. Earlier in the Gospels, you probably remember, he very often said his time had not yet come. It wasn't the right, but now he said it, the time is come. Calvary's just round the corner. Soon I'll be back in heaven. But verse 33, just a little longer, less than 24 hours, he's anticipating going back to heaven. And he says some final instructions. He says, my children. He doesn't say, hey, you lot, listen to me. He uses a family word, a gentle, my dear little children, my little ones, I'm going now, but I want to give you one final instruction. We're going to sing it in a minute. A new commandment, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, and it's by this that all men outside will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. It's a commandment. It's not an option. It's a commandment. Be a church. Be a community that is stronger even than death, life and death. As I have loved you, be willing to die, to serve one another. One version says we love seeing that he loves us. And our love is to be in the same pattern as his. In the early church, it was said, see how they love one another. See how they love. Francis Schaeffer, Dr. Francis Schaeffer, wrote a book called The Mark of a Christian. And he asks this, a set of questions. What marks us out as Christians? Is it if you have a fish on the back of your car? Is it if you wear a cross on your lapel? A dove on your lapel or a cross round your neck? What is the real mark? No, they're signs, if you like, but they're not the mark of a Christian. Is verse 35, it's by this that all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love. That's the real mark, if you have love one for another. You've got that relationship right, as we heard last week. But what about this, really? If you've got love one for another, that's when people will know. That's when people outside will know if you have love one for another. If only I could press the button now and we could end the sermon there. Wouldn't that be great? Because we have to say, what about all the bickerings in churches often? And jealousies and... I'm not going to say any more about that because yeah, we can be exasperated by someone who yes, he's a brother in that sense. He's a Christian. No, she's a Christian. How difficult it is to go to someone and say, look, I'm sorry, like those disciples, I didn't really understand where we're coming from. Let me, in humble service now, ask for your forgiveness. Let me wash your feet, as it were. Let me humble myself. I'm sorry to say I'm sorry. I didn't understand. Will you please forgive? Will you bless me in the name of the one who has washed my feet and laid down his life for me? I want to close with just a verse from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. I'll read it to you. Well, you can look it up if you want to, but 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And Peter is giving instructions and he says, clothe yourselves with humility. Clothe yourselves with humility. I wonder if Peter learned that lesson, to clothe ourselves with humility, when he saw the Lord Jesus washing the disciples' feet, when the Lord got up, took off his outer garment, picked up a towel, wrapped it round himself, poured out some water and washed the disciples' feet. I wonder if that's... I like the old version of that when it says Jesus girded himself with a towel. He wrapped a towel around himself. Remember, I don't see many pinnies these days. Do you still wear pinnies and aprons, ladies? I don't know why I'm saying ladies, because that's not politically correct, but you know, see my old mum wrapping a pinny around herself. And that's the idea, because that word girded, that word put on, is really the word to tie a knot. That's why I said at the start, you might have been shocked by it when I said, get knotted. But that's what I want you to do today. Get knotted. Put the knot, put on that apron and tie the knot. That's what the word means. Tie it in a knot. Put on, and really put on, tie it, that garment of humility and service. Get knotted. Put on humility. Clothe yourselves. Next time someone says to you, get knotted, you say, yeah, I wish I could. Get knotted for Jesus. Get knotted for his sake. I just want to begin with a story. I want to end with a little story, really, about the charity collection outside Morrison's or wherever other supermarkets are available. But we'll say there was a collection for the RNLI or something, and two men walking down, and they got some change in their pockets. And the first man put in 50 pence and he said, thank you for all your work that you do. And that's wonderful. And the second man saw and he got out 50 pence and he put it in the man's collecting bag and he said, thank you for all your work that you do. And they walked off together. And they looked at each other, and the second man said, "I didn't know. Oh," he said, "I'm very interested in the RNLI. I was swimming out when a wave come, and they saved my life. I've got a high regard for the RNLI. What about you?" He said, "Well, I gave 50 pence because I didn't want him to think I was mean." We often say words speak louder than actions. And sometimes actions speak louder than words. But we need both together. We need our words. Thank you for what you've done, RNLI. And our actions as well. Doing something about it. I hope that last illustration hasn't confused anybody, but can you see what I'm getting at? Our words and our actions must marry up together. Let's pray together before we sing our hymn. Father, thank you this morning for your word to us, and we do pray that the resolution might begin to sharpen its focus for us. We don't really understand much about theology and things, but we just want to be the best we can for you, the best Christians that we can, the best churches, the best people that we can for you and for your kingdom. And we pray that as we follow this series through, as it were, that you would help us day by day to put it all in focus and to really understand where we're going with it. And to you we'll give all the honour and the glory. May our lives and our lips marry in, for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that hymn. It's number one, actually. A new command I give unto you, that you love one another.